Katie.
Hi, Mandy.
Hi, guys.
This is take two. Because our first recording didn't work. Anyways, welcome to WEC, episode 69.
Oh, chicka bam.
Kelly! I'm sorry, I went Mandy. There immediately, too.
Well, let's start with BG Corner. Which, Mandy, go ahead and explain to us what this is.
Well, yes, I was wondering myself, but I listened to your last episode, and Kelly explained it beautifully, that BG stands for Barbara Gordon, Batgirl, Librarian, and this is about books. I think that sums it up pretty well.
Mm-hmm. And just so you guys know, for listeners, at the halfway mark of this podcast, we'll be doing our regular beer, books, and tea with the book Weird Sisters. So you have that to look forward to. So, who's got something? Oh, what did we want to do for this one? We wanted to do books we haven't...
Yeah, books that are sitting... Well, for me, books that are sitting in my Kindle in the unread folder. Because I actually put... Because I'm a freak and I can't handle it cluttered on the front. So I put everything in that I haven't read yet in the unread. And then when I read it, it goes to another collection.
Is that freaky?
That's kind of...
I don't have a Kindle, so I don't know.
Well, it's kind of like... I don't know. I don't think most people do it like that. It's kind of a... OCD thing.
Really?
Yeah. You know, like my need to put all my CDs in alphabetical order, separated that's by
weird.
Genre.
That's weird.
Yeah.
That's up there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Here, let me go show you my CD. That would freak you out.
I'm also the person who, like, if I'm at a restaurant, it's Kelly's Neurosis.
Therapy.
We're with you, Kelly. Hey, new section. Frasier. What neurosis does Kelly have today?
Oh, okay.
If I'm in a restaurant...
I'm writing that down.
And it's breakfast. Uh-huh. And you have, they have those little caddies that have all the different jellies in it and jams. I have to sort them into the same kind and facing the same direction. I will also do it with sugar and sweetener packets.
Is this OCD or is this boredom or combination?
I think it's a combination. Well, yeah.
Okay, I'm adding that for future podcasts for a Frasier moment.
Because we all have our neurosis.
Yes, trust me. I am in hotels a lot and there are habits that happen. We won't talk about it right now. Anyways, so what do you have on your bookshelf?
So the next book I'm going to read is going to be The Last Coven by... Poor Rick, I'm so sorry if you listen. I've talked about your book series before, and I just
think we asked him how to pronounce his name,
and
he told us.
But it's
let's call him Rick G.
Galateri, and it's the tome, not tomb, tome.
That we got right. Yes, he corrected us on that.
It's the final book in the series.
Yes.
Oh wow.
So, and it came out a couple months ago, and I've just been. It's hard to find time to read. It really is. Mm-hmm. So, I want to find out the final thing for Bill. And what's really funny is, even though the book series is done, he, as Bill, has a Facebook account and still posts as Bill.
That's awesome.
Or are there really a Bill and he really has this life? I'm guessing no.
So his editor, Megan, is the one I hired to edit my middle grade book. So
oh, really?
She, yeah, that's how I found her, is from him.
Oh my gosh, so, yeah. How cool. Mm-hmm. But that's that book. And then the book after that is going to be the new book by Neil Gaiman, which is the Neil Gaiman...
Norse Anthology?
Norse Mythology, yeah.
Mythology.
It's mythology, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be good.
I love mythology anyway, so mm-hmm. I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. All right, mine is... So Tad Williams has his new extension of the... Austin Ard series coming out, The Witchwood Crown, which I guess comes out soon, in a month, I guess. But then he did this preview book, which is kind of like in between, so it's after what happens in the last, what's that, White Angel Tower or something like that. It's after the last book in the first part of the series, and it's before this next part of the series. But here's the problem. I bought it. And I was so anxious to read it because I wanted to know all about all my characters. But Simon and Miramel and all them, they're not in this book.
Oh, no.
And so while I really want to read it, and I'm going to read it before I read The Witchwood Crown, because it's all...
Witchwood Crown is part of the same universe? The
right.
Thing? Okay.
I just, as soon as I realized, and I, like you, Kelly, I don't normally flip to the end of the book, but as soon as I started reading, I realized they're not in it. And then I just started skimming, looking for any sign of their name. And when I didn't see it, I was like, oh, well.
And you were discouraged?
Yeah, and I don't have much time to read anyways. So anyway, so that's it. It's called The Heart of What Was Lost, a novel of Austin Ard by Tad Williams.
We'll have to talk about that Neurosis of Mine on our next Fraser Corner.
Actually, Mom, our mom, Katie's and my mom, is reading a Tad Williams series called Otherland. Mm. Yeah, so she got into Tad Williams because of you, because you recommended that author to her, and she really, she was not so sure about it, and she got into the first one, and now she's definitely hooked. She's going to read them all, but these are like massive novels, and it came out about 3 or 4 years before Matrix, because it has to do with an alternative, a virtual reality where people go into and then they find themselves stuck. They are in a coma in our world and they're stuck in the virtual world. And so part of the novel's taking place there, part of the novel's taking place all over the world, because it's like this global troupe of players in the book.
So. I own them all. I've only read the first chapter of the first book, and it freaked me out. I didn't read it.
It sounds kind of freaky.
Well, it sounds like what they're doing on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. right now.
Totally! That's what I was telling Mom. I'm like, gosh, there's so many. And I was thinking, wow, this really kind of came before everything. If it came before Matrix, I'm sure there's maybe other things out there. But yes, I'm loving Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Are you caught up?
No, so shush.
Yes. I'm still through behind.
I'm completely caught up, and I love it so much. Shooting someone, I got very upset.
Yeah, he's pretty bad.
I don't want to know. Not my fit.
Mom says irredeemable, but I'm holding out.
So. Well, I got a bit of a crush on Fitz.
Even the bad Fitz or the...
No.
I've got a crush on the bad Fitz.
The evil Nazi-esque Fitz? No.
And he's like, he's all mine. Yes.
No. Well, my book is actually one that I was reading, and then I had to read Weird Sisters, and so I set it aside. And I was really into it, so it was kind of heartbreaking to have set it aside. So I'm very excited to get back to it now. And it's called The Art of Fielding, and it's a baseball book, and it's by this author named Chad Harbach. And what's interesting about him is that he literally has written only one book, this book that came out in 2010. He was a little bit of a phenom, like he was a Harvard English guy, and he was writing this book for 10 years, and then when he finally put it out, there was this bidding war, and he got an advance of $650,000 for this baseball book.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money, yeah. But he hasn't done anything since, except that he's an editor and a literary journalist. So he has a journal.
Well, yeah.
It's not like he's doing nothing. He just hasn't written another novel. But of course, it took him 10 years, so we'll give him some more time. But I absolutely love it. It's about this kid named Henry Scrimshander, and he was spotted by this Westish college player. It's a fictional college. And he gets recruited onto this college team, and all of a sudden he goes from being this beautiful shortstop to this phenom baseball player who's being scouted by. But there's all these other quirky characters. There's this guy named Owen who's on the team, and he's... I don't know. I can't even describe it, but there's these quirky, wonderful, lovely characters. It's a book kind of about the human condition, and yes, centered around baseball and fiction, and I'm completely enraptured with it.
So are they making a movie out of it?
Oh, by the way, I'm listening, not reading. Holter Graham is the narrator, and he's doing a wonderful job. And actually, HBO was going to do a series of it in 2011. They said they were, and it would make a wonderful television series with all the quirky characters they have in it. But I guess that fell through. So now there's a movie, talks of a movie, going to be out. So The Art of Fielding, it's quite lovely.
Well, it sounds lovely. And what else sounds lovely? The banana bread Kelly's dad made for me. Yes. I'm just assuming he made it for me.
It
I know
looks
he probably
lovely.
Made it for you guys, but it's really for me.
When he said he was going to make it again, the first thing he said is, "We have to give some to Katie."
I love him so much.
Oh, and by the way, here's the sacrifice that happened for this banana chocolate chip coconut bread. He went to set the timer on the microwave, accidentally turned the microwave on, had it running for at least a half an hour before it burned itself out. So now we don't have a microwave at my parents' house, which is where I work. So like lunch was
okay,
like...
Now I feel kind of guilty.
So at lunch I kept going, oh, I want to do this. There's no microwave.
What do we do without microwaves?
I don't know. I don't know. So I had salad.
Pick a fire outside.
All No. I wouldn't even want to make a fire in my stove. I just want my microwave.
Okay. So next up is what? Let's do news. We've got news. I got news.
You got news. I don't have any news.
I have such emotional news, you guys.
I've got emotional news, too. You go first.
Okay. You know how long I've watched General Hospital.
Okay, this is so serious.
This is very serious.
Is it going off?
No. That's not the news. That would be horrible. I would be crying.
You wouldn't be able to tell us that news.
Since I was a high schooler. So at least 30-some years. My grandmother, however, has watched it longer than I have, and she always points that out. But since she's 95, I give that to her. So anyways, one of my favorite actresses, and so just so you guys know, and you may know this about me, whatever, I record it, and at night, I'll go through about 4 or 5 episodes at a time. Because I travel a lot, so when I'm home, I'll sit there and I'll just, because I fast forward through most of them. I stop.
It's a soap opera.
Right? Yeah. So I can go through 5 episodes in about an hour with how much I actually stop and watch. One of the people that I always stop and watch, her name is Jane Elliott, and she's freaking retiring. Like, getting out of the business, period, end of story. She has been on this soap since 1978. She is Tracy Quartermain.
Oh, okay.
She is the eldest of the Quartermains. She's actually the only surviving Quartermain member now, because all of her authentic relatives, she only has her sister-in-law, Monica, and... she was married to Luke. I'm sorry, but I love this woman. I love this actress. And here's the thing about her. She only, according to this, although I did see another article because I got freaked out. So I was like, this can't be true. but this was like her only exit interview. She never had plastic surgery. She said, I have an inner peace and acceptance about it. She was talking about her mother never did it either. She says, I also stopped looking in the mirror a long time ago. That helped a lot. Which I love. Anyways, so if you're listening, Jane, I'm deeply, deeply saddened. And now it will only take me 5 minutes to go through it. Anyways, that's my news. Aww. Although I do have stupid news, but that's real serious news.
Aww. Well, let's see. Let's continue on with the serious news. I saw the Heineken commercial. So did you guys hear about the Heineken? So there's this, all this backlash when Pepsi came out with their commercial and everyone said they were just out of touch. And it was the one with what, the Kardashian that gives the Pepsi to the police guy, and lots of backlash.
Technically, she's a Jenner.
Oh, Jenner. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, not a Kardashian. What's that? I get them confused.
Whatever, it's the same thing. They're interchangeable.
So everyone's kind of talking about the Heineken commercial because it came out and people are saying now this is what the Pepsi commercial should have been. And it's really actually quite different, but it's where they have these pairs of people. So they have someone who's transgendered and someone who's anti-transgender and someone who's a feminist, black feminist, and someone who's a white kind of feminist hater and someone who's a climate denier and someone who's a climate change activist. And so they put these two people together knowing nothing about each other and they give them this project, this construction project. They're building a bar. Of course, it's a Heineken commercial. And so they initially they're asking these random, they're told to ask each other random questions to getting to know each other, but just kind of in general. And then they have to go about building the bar. So they build the whole bar together. And then they show a video to them, which it shows their pre-interview speeches where they're giving their views. And after, you know, doing all this work together, and they hear each other talk about, you know, their views on the person who's opposite, you know, they're paired with them and they're looking at each other. And then Heineken says, so now you have a choice. You can pull up a chair and have a beer and talk about it, or you can leave. And all of them pull up a beer, sit down and talk about it. And I swear I was weeping by the end of this commercial, the way that they were just kind of, you know, the guy who was like anti-transgender was like asking for her phone number and saying, I mean, of course my wife will have to be okay with this because, you know, it is having the phone number of another woman in my phone. And it was just, I don't know, it was just super touching and lovely and it was genuine and I thought it was great.
Aww. I didn't see it, but I saw a note about it.
Yeah, totally recommend. It's definitely worth 4 minutes of your time.
I'll watch it.
So, yeah, lovely, lovely, lovely. And yes, I guess I'm advertising Heineken, but I think they deserve a
cheers!
So, cheers!
What are we drinking?
Click, click, click! What are we drinking? You tell us.
Oh, yeah, you brought it this time. I picked the beer. It's called, how do you pronounce that?
Wahini.
Wahini. It's seasonal, and it's across her boobs. Yeah. A blueberry wheat ale.
And where's it from?
Oh, I bought it at Green Acres, Kelly's favorite store.
Yay!
But I mean, where do they make it?
I don't know. Too. That Surf Brewery. In Ventura.
Hey, it's local.
By the way, there's a little bit left. I just put some more in.
Nice.
Okay, if we're doing serious, I do have one serious thing, which I wonder if you guys saw. Did you guys see the opening monologue that Jimmy Kimmel did?
Yes.
Another weeper.
I cried the whole
child
time.
Child with a heart defect. Oh my gosh. Newborn with a heart defect.
So good.
And he did such a good job. I was very proud of him because that's hard to do.
Yeah. But he cries a lot. But I love that about him is that he's like, he's an honestly emotional person.
Yeah. It was so touching.
Yeah,
he's so the best. Okay, are you ready for stupid news? We need some stupid news, right?
Yeah.
This is kind of touching stupid news in a way. This was on Yahoo News, dated May 2nd, so just from yesterday, in New York, by the Associated Press. The title is, Friend Flushes Baseball Fans' Remains Down Ballpark Toilets. A New York City man is on a mission to flush the cremated remains of his lifelong friend, a plumber, down ballpark toilets around the country. The two baseball fans were childhood friends in Queens, not far from, wait for it, Flushing Meadows, where the Mets play. Like baseball, this endeavor has rules. The game has to be in progress when McDonald's sprinkles the ashes into the toilet from the little plastic bottle. So far, he's done the deed at 16 stadiums.
Oh my gosh.
Regal was also a music fan. In Cleveland, McDonald flushed ashes at both Progressive Field and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. In Chicago, McDonald did his duty at a White Sox game, skipping Wrigley Field because the Cubs were long, lifelong, whatever, rivals of the Mets. I know people might think it's weird, and if it were anyone else's ashes, I'd agree, McDonald said. But for Roy, this is a perfect tribute to a plumber and a baseball fan and just a brilliant wild guy. Anyway.
I would be more appalled, except for the fact that when I've asked my mother what she wants me to do with her cremated ashes, she has suggested flushing it down the toilet. Which I said, you're my mother, I'm not doing that. But that's her only idea.
Well, our mom would like hers mixed in with some fertilizer and spread over our dad's grave. She just doesn't want it in a bottle or on someone's shelf.
Okay, so the best part of this whole article were the comments. And this one comment said, Tom McDonald, don't have the blues. Tour the parks and have some brews. Send the wizard of wizards down the loos. Roy Regal was a pal of yous. I just died. There you go. Your life has been enriched, people.
Okay, and the only other news I have is Kelly posted something on Facebook today, and I had seen it.
Wasn't that good?
What did you post?
Yes, but I hadn't opened it until Kelly posted it, and then I was, like, completely overwhelmed.
Have to look at it. It's on Facebook.
It's an oatmeal comic. Okay, Matthew Inman, who does the oatmeal comics, it's called You're Not Going to Believe What I'm Going to Tell You. And it's a thought experiment, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
He walks you through how we think. And it's a little bit about politics and our bubble and how we kind of like to be in our bubble and how we kind of believe in what we believe in and we don't want to believe in what maybe the truth because we're sticking to what we believe in.
Yeah, but it's not an attack. Like,
no,
you think this and you're wrong. It's like, this is why you think the way you do.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
And he based it on, at the very end, he gave credit to a podcast where he got it from. Where he got the idea from. A podcast, You Are Not So Smart podcast. It was a 3-part series on the backfire effect. So that's the thought, the thought kind of experiment that he introduces us to.
And what's really cool is he has facts. So it starts off with George Washington, you say he had wooden teeth. Well, in reality, it was really, he had a set that had ivory and wood and
donkey tooth
and all this other stuff. And then underneath the picture where he has that, he has a thing where you can click and it hyperlinks you to the different sources of where he actually found it. Did you try clicking on that?
I didn't click on that.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what's interesting. And it's just, it's the whole backfire effect, which is.
And then he gives another thought. He says, but what if I actually told you that his teeth were from slaves?
Yeah. Which.
And then it's
they
like,
were.
It's not surprising, right?
And and that's when you're like, all of a sudden you realize how you feel about something, how you're wanting to hang on to your truth.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and also it goes back to what we were talking about on the last podcast, which is you can respect someone for certain deeds and meanwhile acknowledge that they did other things that weren't so cool. Like, you don't have to wholly deem somebody as bad because they did certain things, and you can recognize, like, you know, you can recognize the whole person as long as you're knowledgeable and truthful about it.
Right. And a lot of this is about your initial reaction. Like, when you initially hear that, it's the freak out, not freak out, but the almost the denial. Fight or flight, yeah. Kind of where you're, when that's what it talks about, is your brain almost goes into that kind of a protection mode. When you hear things that don't go with your core beliefs.
Interesting.
Yeah, so nice. So definitely recommend that as well.
Very cool.
So good. And I think I got that from Fran.
Oh my God, well, let's, should we just skip yeah. straight to Friday Night Lights?
We're going to Friday Night Lights. So shout out to Fran.
Hi, Fran.
Hi, who listens. And this was yay for finding for sharing that first, because that's where I got it from. And then the other thing is congratulations on your new job. Hey. So happy for you. She's in the Chicago area. She found a job in the area where she was living, and everything's going great.
Okay.
In her line of business choice, which is wonderful.
Good job.
Very, very happy for you, Fran, and thank you for listening.
Mm-hmm. And congratulations on the Obama thing that's coming into Chicago, because that looks freaking awesome.
What are you talking about?
We'll get to that. Anyways, let's move on to Get Smart. Oh, do we have another Friday Night Lights?
Oh, one more is, I got one more, and then I know Mandy has one. So, and a shout out to my friend Patty, who I believe listens when she knows that I read a lot of books. And so she gave me this really cool bookmark that has Frida, who I can't think of what her last name is, but she's a artist from Carlos? Mexico. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And so thank you for that.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Oh, yes, and I wanted to, I know we, I'm always shouting out to our podcasting friends, but I just want to shout out to Kenny from Dumbbells and Dragons, because he's did two episodes recently on the aliens, because
I heard that he was going
to
do that.
Because he's with his friend Rachel. So I've listened to the first one, I'm excited to listen to the second one, but one of the things he did is he directed me to a podcast called Tea Time with Katie and Chelsea, and it's basically two young Southern Californian women who are doing a podcast about with their perspective of the pop culture that they love. And so they have an episode on, you know, Gilmore Girls, an episode on My Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, an episode on Me Before You, the book and the movie, and Buffy the Vampire Slayer. They're Veronica Mars fans. So anyways, basically, even though they're much younger than I am, I'm kind of loving them at the moment. And I've listened to only a couple of them so far, but there's 22 episodes. And I'm getting excited to kind of follow them, because they're kind of like my geek culture. So they speak my language.
Shoot, I don't know. So I was looking for a podcast for American Gods.
Oh, I think Kenny just did one.
And it's called Random Tea. I wonder if it's the same people, because I listened to like their introduction one, and I listened to a whole bunch of different introductory ones, and this one that I found is the one that I like, but they haven't posted their actual episode yet.
Well, I think Kenny did just post it.
Okay.
I think he just, the last one he just posted was a review of the first episode.
Did he like it?
I didn't listen to it because I didn't watch it yet.
Or was it, that his blog? Was that a podcast?
Oh, maybe that was
might have been
blog.
Something on the blog.
I don't know. He tweeted it. I can't keep track.
Yeah.
But mostly because I didn't want to touch it because I haven't seen it. So I was like, ah,
because you know, the whole core beliefs things. I'm sorry, but if someone didn't like that show, they're dead to me.
Kelly didn't like that show. No, I'm just kidding. No, I watched it, and I'm super, super excited about the series. It was dark, though. I don't know if it's Katie's cup of tea.
We're going to do a special episode on it.
Yes.
All right. And so I'm going to have to watch it. So it might not be my cup of tea. Maybe it's the only one I watch.
Maybe we should do the first two episodes, because I hear this, you know.
But by the time I get a chance to do it, a lot will be out.
Yeah, but Mom, because Mom read the book, and she keeps telling me to read the book. She tells everyone to read the book.
You have to read the book.
No, I haven't read the book.
Oh, the book is amazing.
Well, but she was telling me, so it's going to be a lot of blood. I'm like, what are you talking about? A lot of blood? I'm like, I don't get it. And then right off the bat, they start off with a scene that wasn't even in the book with all these Vikings, like, slash.
It kind of was in the book, though.
Was it? Okay, well, I don't
but
know.
But it wasn't... Okay, so we're going to Get Smart, because this is our recommendations, right?
Yeah, let's do it.
Moving on.
You have to flip and watch. Everybody in the whole world, watch American Gods.
Or you're dead to Kelly.
You're dead to me. It wasn't explained as gory.
It wasn't explained as
gory? So like, in the book, it didn't... So, oh, it happened.
Oh, I see.
It was... The first scene, this is the first scene, it's when the Vikings first come over, and they can't get anything. Okay, so... It's intensely gory.
Okay, I'll just fast forward. I mean, that's the nice thing about Prime, is right? You can just...
The ones part of it... was the guy goes to take a step into the field. So it's like they're on the beach. And you're like behind the beach, there's a scrub. He goes to take a step into the scrub. And he just gets
500 arrows.
With arrows. Like you can't even see skin anymore. It's just solid arrows. And that was so over the top. I busted out of laughing. And just went, oh my God.
And that was literally like the first 5 minutes of the show.
Okay. So I have something to tell you. So I've been working on the sixth book in the Sam series, right? And so and at the end
you're multitasking.
Yeah, I can't
Holy
do it.
Holy Toledo!
At the end of the first chapter in all of my books, there's a dead body, right? So for some reason in this chapter, can't get to the dead body. All of a sudden, I'm coming home today, and I was like, oh, there it is. And then I almost threw up because of how gross it was. And I was like, well, this is not. How am I going to write this? And I kept gagging. I was
like, well, it can't be as bad as the Biliquis scene, which if you've read the book, you know the Biliquis scene.
OMG. So that's a succubus, or is she based on a succubus?
No, she is the Queen of Sheba. Biliquis is the Queen of Sheba. No, what makes it really bad, though, is the person who plays her lover is Bill Murray's brother, Joel. And I'm like...
I recognize him. So I'm watching it.
And I'm like, I think that's Bill Murray's brother. Oh my God, that's Bill Murray's brother.
Okay. Yes, that is. I thought it was actually still kind of a beautiful scene.
It was. And it's in the book, it's, believe it or not, more graphic. But also, it's kind of... It's very, the book is so close to the show is so close to the book. It's amazing.
Well, that's good.
Wow. Yeah.
Because his books are very visual.
Oh God, his books are so good.
Well, that's good. All right. Do you have anything else for Get Smart?
My other thing is the show I'm so excited about. Okay. I'm not a binge person. I don't binge on TV shows. I binge on food and occasionally alcohol, but I don't binge on TV shows usually. So there's an Amazon series that the third season came out of Catastrophe. And it came out Friday, and I watched it Friday night, the entire thing. And there's only six episodes, and each episode's only a half an hour long. So it is not a huge time, you're not giving a bunch of time. It's the story of, and I've talked about it before on the show, so you're dealing with it again, but oh my God, the third season was so good. So... the series is about an American who went over to England for a week of work, had a week-long fling with a woman. He comes home for 3 months. She calls, I'm pregnant. And she's I think about our age. So she's older. This is going to be her only, if she wants a baby, this is it. So she has it. And rather than abandoning her, he comes over and they end up at the end of the first season, they get married. Spoiler. There's something that happens at the end of each series though. But their relationship feels so real to me. As someone who's never been married, I saw the
preview for this season because there was a scene where she comes in and she goes, so-and-so died, so I got the job. And he's like, that's great. Is it good money? And she goes, oh, yeah. Well, no. I mean, it's teacher money, but it's still good.
or the other scene that they show that makes me laugh is the one where she's like, why aren't you wearing trousers? I'm fat, and they hurt, and I threw them away. And what's really good for Carrie Fisher fans, she played his mom, and so she's in the last episode.
Oh.
And she says something to him that reminded me so much of my grandmother that I'm like, oh, I love it.
Oh.
So and the thing with it says for Carrie at the end of the whole thing, which made me go, but it's just so good, and it feels so real. You could tell they love each other, but it's not a fake. Cloying, overwhelming kind of thing. I mean, it feels very real. And it could be wrong. It could be like, since I've never been married, I'm just wrong. But oh my God, it's just so good. And it's so funny.
Wow, you kind of sold
really
me.
It is funny and very emotional. Good. And watch it from the beginning. So we're talking only 18 episodes, a half an hour. We're talking, not a lot of time.
Well, because every once in a while, Mom and I run out of shows. And last time we ran out of shows, I suggested my crazy ex-girlfriend, and we started watching it, and I thought it was kind of fun, but Mom thought it was kind of lame. And then I come home, and she's, on, several episodes ahead of me now. So, so this will be something I can suggest we watch when we're desperate.
Just remember, it's Amazon Prime.
Oh, it's Amazon. Okay, we have that, too.
So. Okay, Amazon Prime.
Thank you. I thought you said Netflix, and I don't know why, because you don't have Netflix.
No, I still don't have it. I know.
I'm not.
If you hear background noise,
yeah,
that's a dog. being thirsty.
Yeah. She does it every time.
Our lovely. Yeah. Okay. So my recommendation is a game. It's a tabletop game called Monarch, and I made my son and my husband play it, which is significant because you play as lady princesses. I was like, okay, so you guys know you're a princess. And basically, it's really, really easy to teach and learn and really fast to pick up. But it's a lovely card game. And it's got...
that's the post-water sound.
I've never heard her do that before. That was hysterical.
Anyways... I just want to give credit because it is quite beautiful. It's the game design was Mary Flanagan, Max Seidman, and Zara Downs. And the design was Sarah Ettinger. But it's quite beautiful. I mean, this is a picture of one of the cards. And you're collecting court cards. And so based on whether you taxed the kingdom or you like harvested the grain, then you can buy certain cards and then you can send unwanted guests to devalue the crowns. And at the end, you're basically counting up how many crowns you have. And then and I thought I was winning the whole time. The whole time I thought I was winning because I was like, I got to 7 cards faster than anybody. I was like, And I got the lowest of both of them. Of course, my son won because that's what happens. And then you basically, when you win, you get the kingdom because your mom, the queen, was like, well, see which of you is the best.
Wow, that sounds like fun. I know you've been talking about that game for a while, so we're going to have to play that.
And now I want a tiara and play the game.
I'm going to be really drunk with, like, a gown.
We have gowns.
Which, you know.
Since we played Elsa and
Anna. And a wig. I'll be like.
Well, you know, that's my idea for my next big milestone birthday party. It's going to be.
Princess party.
Pretty princess party.
Well, we've got the dresses for it.
So I highly recommend that game. Do you have anything for recommendations?
I actually had a game as well. Not to tag team on your, you know, game thing, but it's a party game. So it's a game that I had the opportunity to play twice recently, and I owned it much longer than that, never played it, so I couldn't comment on it before. But now I played it twice, and I absolutely love this game. So the cool thing about this game is that if you want to try a game with a group of people, it doesn't matter how many. It can be an odd number. This is the game for you. It was a new game by a Czech board game designer named Vladimir something. I could not possibly pronounce his name, so I didn't even try. And it came out in 2015, so it's a new game. It's called Codenames, and there's two of them. There's one with words and one with pictures. But basically, you have two people who are the spy masters, so they're kind of like the leader of your team. And then everyone else has to work. They give you a word, and you have to look at the word. There's 25 cards with words on them spread out in front of you. And from that word, and then they give you a number. And the number is how many cards that word relates to. And so there's only one word on each of the 25 cards. And so they have to be super clever about the word they give you as a clue.
Match a pattern?
Yeah, so the pattern is, like, if you pick the wrong card, you could give the other team a point. There's also, I think, one card where it's an assassin. If you hit that card, you're done. The other team wins. And then there's also just passerbys. So, you know, get that card. Nobody gets a point, but your turn ends and you move on. But it's kind of like or if it's pictures, you still give a word, but it's pictures that you choose from instead of words. And so we've played with odd numbered groups. You could play, with one person as a spy master and one person on the team. So you could play with a smaller group of four, and you could even do a variation on the game and play with one spy master and everyone else is on the team. So it's a little different. I'm not quite sure how that works, but I've heard there's a variation. So I just think it's a really great party game. And since a lot of the board games I play are, you know, 4 people, maybe 5, but usually not more, and sometimes only 3, this is kind of definitely a fun group. And we played with 2 different disparate groups, and nobody really knew the instructions, and everyone was able to catch on really quickly.
Those are the best kind of games.
Yeah, so highly recommend Codenames.
All right, are we good?
We're good.
Are we ready for our special segment, Beer, Books, and Tea? All right. Welcome to Beer, Books, and Tea, the show where we talk about Terry Pratchett's Discworld novels, and today we're talking about...
Weird Sisters. Which, hey, you guys.
I would say all 3 of us.
I know, I'm like, hey, the coven. We've got a coven right here.
We could be the coven.
Wait, though, I looked up the word weird, because it's spelled a certain way. Uh-huh. Spelled W-Y-R-D. And guess what it means?
It's like Norse, isn't it?
Well, I'll tell you.
Well, I read...
The etymology of it. It's common Germanic word, Old Saxon, blah, blah, blah. Wait, I went to the wrong page. Oh. Word is a feminine noun, and it's Norse congate, besides meaning fate, is the name of one of the Norns, is literally that which has come to pass, or what is in the process of happening. So it's kind of the idea of destiny, fate. And so as soon as I read that, I was like, oh, well, that's actually one of the themes of the whole book.
Yeah, destiny.
Is destiny. Do you have anything to do with it?
I have to tell you.
Norse mythology. The Norns are from Norse mythology, which I thought was cool.
This is the only book series where I actually have to stop and look words up.
Yeah. Well, especially in this one.
The only one.
Mm-hmm. Especially in this one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, again, I listened. Celia Emery, I don't know if she does all of Terry Pratchett's books, but she did... Equal Rights. Mm-hmm. And she read this one as well. She's amazing. She's truly an amazing reader. And I was like completely swept away by this book. So I didn't read it. I listened. So I kind of have a different experience of the book. But
so you knew how to say Margaret.
Yes. Margaret.
Margaret.
See, I don't remember anymore.
Margaret. And then Lanker. Is it Lanker?
Langer. According to the... Because I watched the cartoon today, which was really good. Langer.
Okay. Yeah, I watched the cartoon and I was surprised by the pronunciation of the Langer Castle or whatever it is, because I had been pronouncing it the way you just said it. Yeah.
And here I listen to it and am pronouncing it
all. And by the way, the best thing about that cartoon, though, really was I'm listening to the voice of Margaret and I'm going, that's Bubble.
And I had no idea who Bubble was.
Have you ever watched Absolutely Fabulous?
I used to watch it, but I didn't look up the reference when you sent it.
Bubble is Edwina's assistant, the ditzy blonde.
What is Absolutely Fabulous? I mean, I did look it up, but
it's two drunk ladies.
Yeah, it's a British.
Like an English series?
British. From the 90s.
Okay. Yeah. And we watched a lot of it. It was really popular when we were just getting out of high school into college.
Well, I watched it when I was living in Minnesota. So like 96 was when I started watching. And I think it was old repeats, but they would be on like all the time. And yeah. And oh my God. And they're horrible human beings.
Horrible people.
There's nothing redeeming about these people. And she's got two kids. Edwina has two daughters. She's got a daughter and a son. You never see the son, but she loves the son not to death. And the daughter is Safi. And Safi, you've seen in other stuff. She was in.
Always drunk and they're always doing horrible things.
Oh yeah. Oh my God. And they just did a movie, so you have to see the recent movie where she accidentally kills. I think it's Twiggy.
Or some absolutely model. Fabulous, darlings. Yeah. Anyways, Weird Sisters. Okay, so question for you, because first I wrote down that it was published in 1980, and then I wrote 1988, and then I was like, well, wait a minute, Sorcery was 1988, so how come this could be 1980? And then I read that. The copyright was 1980, and I'm assuming that's for Discworld, but this was published in 1988?
I have my book says published in 90.
It was 1988, so interesting.
Well, mine, though, could be because of the publishing company. So mine was published by First Rock, and they published it in 1990. So it could have been published they're the American publisher.
Well, this is HarperCollins, and this is 1988.
Weird Sisters says 1988. Okay, Wikipedia says 1988.
Okay. Well, anyways, so 1988, which is the same year as Sorcery, basically, which is significant because both of these books are very, very dense, and this book especially felt like it took a long time to write. Like, part of his genius... Right now I'm editing a book, and it just took me one whole weekend to work on 5 pages. So the fact that somebody wrote 2 books in 1 year, I mean, I know he published them, like he wrote them a year before I get that. But the fact that they both came out in the same year, and then you get sentences like, the early damp earth odors of autumn drifted over the velvety dark moors where the watery starlight was echoed by one spark of a fire. I hate you, Terry Pratchett. How did you do that?
Well, he's dead now, so.
Oh, I love you. I'm sorry. That's terrible. Don't haunt me. But anyways.
No, he does write beautifully.
Yes.
But actually, even though it was kind of dense, there was actually a lot of, like, filler, like I thought. I mean, it was all still very entertaining, but I did think that there was stuff that he probably didn't need, like, that didn't move the story along, but just, you know, served to entertain, which is perfectly fine, because I think that's Terry Pratchett's thing anyway. Yeah.
Though this time, I liked all the characters.
I agree.
Yeah. Like, because in the last one, we had an issue with one of the characters. He could have been cut out, no one cared. This one...
I had an issue with Konina. You had an issue with Nigel. So technically, we had an issue with two characters.
Well, I didn't like Konina because I never remember her name. I kept calling her What's-Her-Face, so...
Yeah, no, I definitely liked all the characters. I found them... Oh, well, except for Felmet, which... And his wife. I didn't like them at all, but I did...
But he was a great villain.
Thought they were cool.
I thought, yeah. The idea that he was... scrubbing his hands.
Ooh, and that's like a...
And he was going to use a grater.
And that's like one of the many Macbeth references.
Right, yeah.
Well, that's what... Did you read Quill, the dwarf? Quill?
No. Tell me, because I didn't... I was wondering
Will
why
Shakespeare?
He was so...
See,
the playwright!
I was pronouncing it as Huel.
So did I. And then I was like, wait a minute, Huel... Because I spelt it wrong. I spelt it, and I was like, no, it's... And I was like, well... And then I looked it up, and it was like, yeah, that's Will Shakespeare.
Yeah, I heard that it's not just Macbeth, that it's like several Shakespeare references throughout the entire book. Well,
the greatest romance, Grilled Walta and Malt something, which is... And it's Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, that's what that is.
Yeah, because he talks about how one of them killed themselves, and they weren't really dead, and dead, yeah. And then, yeah, there's, like, some, like, easy something. I mean, yeah, if you read through it, yeah, there's a ton of Shakespearean things in here.
So, okay. So this book did a lovely thing at the beginning that I don't know that he's done to this point, where he does the cut scenes, right? You have one bit of the, you know, the witches, and then you, you know, can we meet? Next, you know,
now about Thursday,
you know, and then you cut to the stagecoach, you know, trundling down, being chased, and then you cut to the Duke or the King realizing he's dead. He got a surprise. Hello, death. And then you cut to, you know, this, and then you cut to that, and like that was, I don't know, like I didn't experience that in his other books.
And the cuts were easier to follow, because in his previous ones, like when you're reading it, because there's no chapters, it really is one of the things, if you put it down and you come back, you have to like go back to find out where you're at. And this one was much easier. The transitions were easier to follow.
Yeah, sorcery was bad.
Oh my God.
Because every time I would stop reading it, when I would open it up again, I had to go back a few pages to figure out what happened. But you're right. This one, I didn't have that issue.
And there's no chapters, no,
no.
space. Because there are chapters on the audiobook.
There's a space.
And pauses.
So there's like a double or triple space. That's it.
Okay. Yeah, it was his thing. I guess eventually his editors insisted that he have chapters. But as much as he had control, he didn't want any.
Yeah,
so
that's it. Okay.
So it's a little bit hard. But in this one, I felt like, and this is what was interesting, because the tone of it, as you met these people, and the fact that I realized it was Granny, I got really happy, was very effective, because by the time that guy hands Granny the baby, I'm like totally invested.
Mm-hmm.
What is happening? It was a decision they were going to have to make for the fate of this kingdom that had taken on this powerful like need, and they were going to have to break the rules to do something about it. I was like, oh, that feels good.
And didn't you like that feeling that the kingdom, when they, it was on Hog's Watch night, where they're not supposed to, the witches aren't supposed to go out, and the kingdom itself, so the feeling of all the lives around them, were so upset that that's what woke her up, and that's what the issue was.
And that scene, one of my favorite scenes, is when she goes outside in the snow, dusts off that chair, and sits down, Granny does. Faces the kingdom.
Uh-huh.
With all those animals looking at her, and she's like, no. I am not going to do this for you.
I'm not allowed to meddle.
Witches do not meddle. You know, and the fact that she was like, no, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this. You know, this is against the rules, basically. Oh, that was the other thing. There were no wizards in this book.
Nope.
It was the first time without wizards.
But three wonderful witches.
But see, the bad thing is, it was in sorcery. Oh, Rincewind is like... in peril, and you don't know, and so like
at this the end of sorcery,
yeah, and this next book,
no Rincewind
isn't in it, so now you're still like, you know, obviously whatever the next book is,
Now, what I'm curious about is in this book, they go forward 15 years. Does that affect anything else in the world? That was kind of strange.
And it was so neat how they addressed it, because everyone was like, things are a little off. Like
the 15-year kiss, like they were kissing with the kissed for 15 years. It was so romantic.
Yes. And then, well, the romantic, because the thing is, honestly, in sorcery, and I like sorcery, but as soon as the romance got introduced in that one, it went downhill.
I listened to almost all of your episode, and that's where you guys were talking about it.
In this one, the romance, it wasn't a big romance, but it was the 15-year kiss, and then it was the 15-second kiss, which felt even longer.
Yeah, that was super sweet.
So I wrote down that this book had several core themes. I wrote down that it had time as a theme, whether you're living within it or you're shaping it. Magic, when to use it. Destiny, whether it's fate or you can control it. And then truth. Do people control their own power of words? Or, like, the power of rumors, basically. Mm-hmm. What is true?
Ooh, like, that's right, because there's a lot of propaganda in this book.
And that's the one that when I was reading that part of it, because that's more towards the end where they get into that, I'm like, that is so relevant to right now. That's exactly what's happening now.
Well, it reminded me, actually, I think it's happened forever.
Oh, yeah.
It reminded me of Hamilton, where, you know, who writes your story? Who lives? Who writes your story? Mm-hmm. Like, essentially, who tells the truth? And it was actually towards the beginning when they were introducing the Ghost King to all of his ancestors and stuff. And he was like, I thought this. Well, you know, no, that's not actually what happened. But it doesn't matter because somebody else decided to rewrite it.
Or take it back to Shakespeare with Richard III, with the hump and the evil. And they dug up his body. Didn't have a hump. He wasn't evil. It's just the winning side writes history.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was a pretty powerful theme. All right, but to Mandy's point, we did not do any kind of synopsis, but what we do is a one-sentence recap of the book, and mine is, I know you guys will love it, to change destiny, or not to change destiny.
That's great, because right there were some Hamlet references in here, too, from what I heard, so.
Monty Python rewrite Shakespeare. That's all I kept thinking is, boy, this is...
those three dude witches.
Oh my God.
You just see John Cleese playing one of those.
Oh, or Eric Idle.
We're not really witches. You don't need to put us in prison. Is anyone coming down?
Have you ever seen The Life of Brian?
I know I have. It's been so long.
But it's like, they're like, what have the Romans ever done for us? Well, they created the aqueducts. Oh, yeah, well, of course the aqueducts. It's like, let's talk about all these things that the Romans did that were good. Well, the roads. Well, and it's just totally we could take the wigs off. Well, anyone could take the wig. You know, like, this reminded me so much of that.
Yeah, very much so. Do you have a one word or one
Say one word. I'll say three witches a coven makes. sort of like, you know, those are the main, those are the characters that go throughout.
Okay, so let's and talk continue about throughout. Them. Let's talk about them because they are really amazing. So yeah, I thought they worked well together. I thought when I really liked it when they fought and then Nanny Og got trapped or whatever, because the king came out and he was like, the witch is here to get me. And he puts her in chains. And then...
it was just a non-issue.
Yeah, like, they were like, we're going to get
her. Yeah, we got to go get
her. And then the fact that they complimented Margaret after she made the door, I'm assuming, grow and then burst into splinters.
Turn into an oak tree. Which is, what's good about that is, that's where the cartoon was good. It's because in the book, I think they say that Nanny Og is in chains or whatever. But in the cartoon, she's just got her feet in stocks. And so she's just kind of sitting there like, you know, want to set you on fire. She's like, well, it'll be warmer because it's kind of cold down here in the stocks. You know,
that whole scene was hysterical.
The thing was,
the book started off and I was thinking that this was a little darker because that's kind of what Katie said. It's a little darker. And I was like starting off, yes, it is a little darker. But as I went through the book, I'm like, this is just lovely and comical and
oh, but the comedy when they kept sending people to the witches and they'd come back. Did you get the? Did you get rest of? No, but I had tea.
I got a scone
and a scone. Except for, well, Bruce couldn't have a scone. Can't have the fruit. He had a biscuit instead.
All right, so let's talk about the core central aspect of this story, which is, I think, been done several times. Right? You had a king who was murdered by a power hungry dude, who then goes bonkers as crap. Who was probably bonkers before, but then goes bonkers even more because of guilt.
And also he doesn't like where he is. He hates his kingdom.
He's a vegetarian in a meat eater's world, basically.
The cook tried to roast the celery and the apples and things.
Which is totally inappropriate in a castle. You should have a meat eating king. I agree. I don't know who said it, whether it was Nanny Ogg or Granny, but I was like, yes, absolutely. You can't have that.
The most horrifying scene in that, speaking of meat eaters, is when he goes down to the kitchen and it's the ghost of everything that. that's ever been killed and eaten.
I wrote that. I wrote down my favorite scenes. But basically, so this story is, you know, supposedly the king had an heir and the heir was kidnapped. And will that heir come back to reclaim the throne? Right? Which is the story, which I think has been told, like, a lot of different ways, right?
Lots and lots of times.
So the only thing, well, I mean, not the only thing, but I mean, the main thing that separates this is the idea that these three witches, who are not, like, your classic bubbling, bald cauldron-type witches, they're very intelligent. And as I said before, I disagree with the cartoon in one thing. I don't think Granny Weatherwax looks like that.
No, she's prettier.
She's beautiful.
I think she's gorgeous. Uh-huh. I think she's just a witch. And but I wish they would portray her like that.
But the character was older, but also beautiful, but mm-hmm. in an older, more regal type way.
Like, I think we decided it was Helen Mirren, right?
Yeah.
Like, to me, Granny Weatherwax is an elderly, lovely lady. Not this... Nanny Ogg, I got, might have been a little warty.
I got... Don't you want to party with her?
The hedgehog song, that was literally one of the funniest things in the whole thing. So every time she started singing about a hedgehog, I just literally wanted to die.
The fact that she referred to all her kids as R. John or R. This, I was like, you were so cute.
And in the audio, there's a song and they're singing and it's just silly. Emery is just, she's lovely. I just thought it was fabulous.
Yeah, but those three ladies kind of take this story from a standardized story, you know, of revenge, to more of a, and the fact that, the other thing I loved was that scene when they've given the son away, right, to protect him. We're going to protect him with the theater people, which that scene was hysterical too, when they're talking really loud and eating, I don't know why this, he killed him!
when Granny Weatherwax didn't know that theater was fiction.
Yeah. That was the best.
But he's lying there dead!
Yeah, but then they decide they should gift the boy something, right? They should gift him. And Margaret, you know, being the, you know, she studied, so she's going to teach them all how to do this. And then they leave before they, and on the way home, they're like tossing these things out. And Granny Weatherwax does that thing where I think she's the one that says, he needs to be whoever he thinks he is.
Yep.
Which is crucial to the ending of the story.
Well, and it's also, and I think she says that, and then she goes, because that's what everybody should strive to be, or everyone should be, or something like that. Which is true. That's, you know, if you're going to have a fulfilling life, you need to be who you're going to be.
Yeah. And then, of course, he's gifted with good memory, which makes him an excellent actor. Uh-huh. And then makes friends easily, which is a lovely sentiment.
And wasn't that kind of heartbreaking? When she said, because that was Margaret who said it.
Yeah.
And then she says, because I'm not able to do that.
Yeah.
I'm like, aw. Which, by the way, her name, I looked it up.
It's Garlic, right? Margaret.
No.
Well, that's her last name.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Margaret is supposed to be Margaret, and her mother didn't know how to spell. And so she ends up, because I was looking through the Wikipedia, and she ends up having a daughter, and I think she names her Esmeralda Margaret, and she puts in like, verify the spelling or something after, meaning to verify the spelling of Margaret, but they put that in there. You know, like you see those cakes where they say cake and the name in red instead of doing a name in red, you know, that kind of thing. I thought that was funny.
That's cute.
But yeah, she was supposed to be Margaret, but she's Margaret.
So anyways, I was really, I thought, well, okay, this, you're really, that's what I think I meant by it being a little darker. They were faced with some really tough decisions, and it wasn't easy for them to fix this problem.
And the stakes were high.
Right. They were huge, yeah.
And also, the villain, and he was a great villain. She was a good villain, too. The Duchess was good, too. But the way they went after the witches was so diabolical, because it wasn't just go have someone kill them. It was
ruin their reputation.
Yeah. My heart broke when he was like laughing at Granny.
Yes.
I was like, oh, you ass.
Or turn around and wave to them since you've been here on a diplomatic mission or whatever. Ugh.
Yeah, it was bad. So yeah, he was good. But yeah, I thought it was a good, I mean, this was one of those stories where I was in the whole way. I wanted to know what happened, and I wanted to know everything, and he didn't tie it up until the very last page.
Yep.
It's and like, I did not know that was going to happen. I mean, I was sensing that there was the brothers, that they were going to say that there was brothers, but then at the end when they said they weren't even brothers, you know, and it was...
See, now, what I got the feeling of was they're brothers.
On the mom's
They just
side.
Don't know which one of the... No. I think they're full brothers. You just don't know who the father is.
Oh, I mean, true.
They're brothers on the dad side, because the mom, one mom is she was married to the fool. The other one was the queen. Those are two different women. One was the beautiful woman who married the fool. The queen was separate. So it's two different women. The father's the same.
I don't even know if that's true, but I like that theory.
I like that better than what I came up with.
Yeah, because you know because what's his name? The fool was raised by his mom. His dad was always going off and around.
Towards the end, I thought that wasn't his mom.
Oh no, that's his mom.
See, now that makes sense. Who was his mom? Nanny Ogg's comment now suddenly makes sense.
Yeah. So his mom married the fool that you know, which was. The guy who was raised as, what's his name? Lucerne? I can't remember.
Lanker.
So he was.
Varence is the name.
Varence is the king.
Okay.
And the fool's
And
name.
The fool. Okay, so Varence. So.
But that's why the mom names the son Varence. Because her. Yeah. Because she had an affair with the king. This totally makes sense.
But the thing is that she didn't have an affair. Did you read that? Did you look at that word that kept coming up? That phrase, the sigda. Remember how I said I'd look something on? Look up? It's the Segda something take on it. But if you look at where the Duke is talking about how now that he's going to... It was either the king saying that he didn't get enough of it, or the Duke saying that he was going to start doing the Segda or something...
That was a big horse, wasn't it? Or
no.
A dog, large dog.
If you look it up, that's what. Then they said, "Oh, it's a big hairy beast." No, it's the first. It's the Lord's right to have the wedding night with the newly married couple's bride.
Okay, but that still would make the king the fool's dad,
right?
Okay,
but not
from an affair.
But it's not the queen. It's two of the vassals got married. He gets to have the first
right,
the wedding
okay.
night with the bride.
Right, right, right. Okay.
And that's how she got pregnant. That happened in medieval.
Oh.
That's a medieval thing. I mean,
right,
that was
right.
common.
And that was in a book called Catherine, too, by Anna Seton, one of my favorite books.
And
of
it's
all.
Also in, I think it's in, that was that Mel Gibson movie? Give Me Freedom
okay.
or Give Me Whatever.
I'm so thankful you said that. That makes so much more sense.
Yeah.
And it definitely clears things up.
Yeah. I did. This was the quote that I wrote down and left at work. But it said, so there are the three. Witches are talking at the end, and Margaret's like horrified that the fact that he wasn't actually a brother, although we're thinking he probably is. Right then, said Granny. Anyway, look at it like this. Royalty has to start somewhere. It might as well start with him, being the fool. It looks as though he means to take it seriously, which is a lot further than most of them take. He'll do. That's where you've been getting it all wrong, said Granny. Destiny is important, see, but people go wrong when they think it controls them. It's the other way around. Bugger destiny, agreed Nanny. Granny glared at her. After all, you never thought being a witch was going to be easy, did you? I'm learning, said Margaret. Sorry, actually, I don't even think that's the quote, but, but it was still just lovely.
It was. There was a lot of quotes like that. I loved when Nanny Ogg was telling Margaret that Nanny or Granny was finally following the one rule that's the most important rule. When you break rules, break them good and hard.
Yeah.
And this was the quote. That's what I'm saying. Never mind what should be or what might be or what ought to be. It's what things are that's important.
Yeah. And so, I mean, again, at its core, this was a very interesting, struggling story. And if I could quote something the definition of a kingdom. A kingdom is made up of all sorts of things, ideas, loyalties, memories, it all exists together. And then all these things create some kind of life, which again, there was that invisible player in this book, which was the disc kingdom itself. And the other thing I read is that the another one of the Shakespearean references was, remember when Tom John, I think, wanted to call the theater in Ankh-Morpork the disc?
Uh-huh. Oh, that's the globe.
The globe.
Yeah. By the way, I found it finally. It's... Oh, crap, it's on this page. Daggone it. Oh, there it is. It's the Droit de Seigneur. So it's D-R-O-I-T space D-E space S-E-I-G-N-E-O...
I'm glad you looked that up.
Yeah.
I'm glad you looked
that up. And that's the act of sleeping, the king sleeping with the vassal's wife on the...
It's the lord, so it could be like... It didn't have to be the king, it could just be the duke or the whatever, but they have the right.
Ugh, that's awful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's do our ride. Didn't anybody have a ride?
Yeah, well, wait, can I do my one quote that I like the best in the book? Which I don't know what it refers to, but I think this is a good life one. Okay? And it is, only in our dreams are we free. The rest of the time we need wages.
I read that and I loved that so much. I'm so glad you brought that up because when I read, I was like, you're right.
I actually folded the page over so it was underlining it so I would find it.
Who's saying that? Isn't it Nanny that's saying that?
Hul snorted.
Oh no, it's Will. It's Will. That's right. That's right. Yeah, that was...
Who's the playwright.
Yeah, the dwarf who's older than the father, the adoptive father.
Yeah, that's right. And
he's like, you've been like a son to me.
Okay, then you're like a father to me.
I'm 102. that other scene that I loved, when they summon the demon, Wurzhufrush, who has no vowels in his name, and he's like, please banish me. And they're like, okay, fine.
But what I love was where Magrat wants to have we need to have candles and just use anything. They throw in like soap powder and a bristle brush.
That was great. Okay, so what's your ride?
My ride is the broom going around the whole kingdom to send them back, because that would be a thrilling ride where you're dipping and you're riding and you go slow and then speed up suddenly when it gets more magic. And then they made that remark about her thighs, which makes me laugh so hard.
Yeah, because then you could get frozen like Danny.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was that.
And dip and fall and it would be a fun ride.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's actually my ride as a broom too, and I was like thinking, how would this work? So I'm thinking of like the log ride, except it's a broom stick. So you put your leg over it, and it is a flight ride, but they'd have to secure you because it's going to be exciting. So there's going to be some kind of shoulder strap on you, but you're straddling the broomstick, and there could be like 2 to 3 or 4 people on it. And one of the things, like, and you know in Splash Mountain, how you're going along and everything's fine, and then all of a sudden everyone's like drunk. All the characters are drunk. So that's where I'm thinking that there's going to be random hedgehogs just popping up out of nowhere. And so the ride is just going to be everything's great. And then everything's like really crazy. And then there's like a coven of witches. And so it'd be kind of like one of those rides, except you'd be flying, not on water. So.
Okay, that would be good. Mine was like Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, except it would be breakout of the Lankert Castle. When they're trying to get out of the castle as fast as they can, they go through, like, the torture chambers, and they run past Greedo the cat, or whatever. What's the name? Greebo? Greebo the cat?
Greebo.
Go through, like, a party of... And I had the... In my ride, I was like, and they go through the kitchen, through all the ghosts.
Oh, God, that'd be fantastic. Yeah, that's a great scene.
The cat, who they had... There's the two-headed kitten... Which wasn't surprising, since he was the father for 30 generations of that kitten.
Oh, God.
Like, ew!
Yeah, no. Well, anyways, I mean, this changed the rules, I think, a little bit of Discworld. Because, again, we didn't have a wizard. We only went to Ankh-Morpork a short amount of time. And it also, I think, took place in the even though she went... Well, but she only went around the kingdom.
Right.
So basically, I think it took place in the smallest geography of all the books so far. which is the Ram Top Mountains, which is one of my favorite places because that's where Equal Rights.
Equal Rights.
That's where Equal
because
Rights.
Because Granny was the star of Equal Rights.
Yeah, I wanted to mention that this was adapted into a play that's being performed right now in Australia.
Oh, I was going to say, let's
play
go!
Playwright by Stephen Briggs. But the Discworld Convention, there it's at various places around the world, but the one here is in September in New Orleans, and the theme this year is witches.
Oh,
so, I know you guys want to go now, huh?
I'm telling you, so next year...
You guys, on the front of this... his hat, and as Granny says, it's all the headology. That's why you wear the hat. All we have to do, put on hats.
Well, I'm telling you, next year, Fran and I, we're hopefully going to England. We're going to the UK.
And there's a Discworld convention there, too.
Well, I don't know if there's a convention. All I know is there's going to be Discworld stuff, and I'm so excited about
that. Yeah. Well, his birthday was just recently, right?
Did you see Back in Black? I haven't seen it yet, the documentary that just came out.
No, I didn't even hear about it.
No, it's Neil Gaiman and a whole bunch of other people. Everyone who ever loved him.
Harley, here's to be truthful. I'm so ashamed that I never read these books. Like, you at least read four of them.
Mm-hmm.
I never read these books. Before we started to do this, I didn't know anything about them. I didn't know they existed.
I didn't
like, that's
existed,
how foolish I was.
But I had never read them, and I was buying the Young Reader books for your son. And that was kind of like my entry into Terry Pratchett, which he didn't read, I'm pretty sure, but...
I feel like I wish I would have started reading them when he was alive. I wish I would have, like, had that opportunity to see his interviews and hear... Because I read Good Omens, so I did read something by him. But, like, really, this is... I mean, the fact that somebody came up with all of this is just astonishing. And it's so well done.
And he's a beautiful writer who is absolutely hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but see, the only reason I found this... was because of, I first said Fran, but I was incorrect. I told Fran about these books. He missed that one earlier. But it was because of Xanth and Piers Anthony.
Yeah.
And so, and the other author I used to read was Christopher Stashiff, something like that. So like this heavy duty fantasy is totally right up my alley.
So
yeah, and it was right up my alley too, so I don't know how I missed it.
So I want to talk about, just to finish us off for this, I want to talk about the very ending when, and I got mad at the cartoon because there is a cartoon of this, it's very good and it's very true to the book except for the very last scene. In the book, it's 10 times better because in the book, Margaret is like, where, you know, he's left me. He's king now. He doesn't need me, you know, it's, and I feel so bad for her.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh my God. But that scene with the dang, you know, knocking at the door, open in the name of, he's like, shh, would you please? And then the fact that he's so tired that he just goes in the house
and he falls asleep in her house
waiting for her. Oh my God.
I was actually seriously bummed when the book ended and she didn't go back to find him.
I loved
but
that.
I did like that. But at the time, I was like, but.
Well, see, I read the very, because I read the end of the book first. So I read the end of the book and didn't read that part.
I already given her crap for this.
Yeah. So all I read was her sitting there getting drunk with Granny
being
and Nanny
and
being alone and having him, like, basically dump her, like, ghost her. And I'm like, she had the worst ending.
The whole novel.
You had the worst ending ever. And I just felt so bad. I didn't actually hate him because I could see
how he's busy as a kid
now.
Yeah,
and it's a whole new life for him. And so I could totally see where things that happen, but I just felt bad for her because she lost everything. And then to turn out that actually he's there waiting for her.
You know, I will say this. The Fool was perhaps the, like, I know that he spent a little bit of time on The Fool, but mostly it was about his tragic upbringing and how he was a really smart guy. He established very early on, he's a super smart guy pretending to be stupid.
And also did you like the thing about his height? When she looked at him as a witch and not a woman, where he actually isn't short.
Mm-hmm.
He's really tall.
Mm-hmm.
But he hunches and he does all this other stuff. I love
that. Yeah, so I felt like...
Yeah, they introduced at the beginning when someone says, is that a Zen? When they're talking about without. And he says, yeah, what is Zen? And then he gives this very, you know, literal description of what Zen is. It goes, oh, wait a minute. I'm the Fool. I forgot. Let me give you a stupid explanation instead.
And I felt like... Maybe it was on purpose that Terry Pratchett just purposely didn't develop that as a central character. to give him enough oomph towards the end. Mm-hmm. But then when I finished the book and I realized, you know, if he'd made the fool the main character in this, it might have been just as good of a story. Mm-hmm. Instead of, you know, having a lot of those scenes with Thelmet and that evil duchess, like, you know, give us more of the fool. But I don't know. I thought that was a wonderful ending. And I loved it.
And how was the cartoon different?
She answers the door.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She answers the door. Oh, silliness.
And you also missed the joke of him sending the guard that's with him away to return his stuff to the, what is that place called where the fools learn to be fools?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And to give him the, like, make sure you get the best room because it's horrible. Oh, that was for the comic. That was funny. Did you watch in the cartoon where it's flashing back to when he's a little boy in this?
No, I didn't see that part.
It's like, oh, hey, have you seen my mother-in-law? And it's like this monk chant of these horrible schmaltzy jokes. It's hysterical. That was funny.
All right. Well, they're good, guys.
It's a good book. This one, and it really does have a lot of really funny scenes in it. Mm-hmm. Very clever and very mm-hmm. funny.
And the next book is Pyramids. Do you know anything about Pyramids?
I read someone's review of it, like on Amazon, and they were talking about how they wish they would have read the book before they went took a class on Egyptology. So I'm like, I'm going to Egypt this year, so woo, this is perfect.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm never going to Egypt, not on purpose, just because that's not... Look, I have a limited amount of years, and there's so many places to go. Egypt is not on the top of my list. I'll listen to What's His Face's podcast.
Yeah.
Eric.
He hasn't posted anything in a long time. I think he's done.
No, but there's enough. I'll go back and listen to them again.
I need to do that too before my trip.
When do you go?
Not until October.
Oh,
we're going to hear about it until she goes.
Oh, yeah.
Then we're going to be like, Kelly, it's gone.
Well, yeah. And considering that part of the world where I'm going to be.
Stop it.
Not the safest.
All right. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you in a bit.
Bye.
Hey there. If you enjoyed this, please go to iTunes and drop us a review. We would love to hear from you. If you have ideas or suggestions on what we should cover in our Growing Up 70s, or comments about the books we talk about, or the television shows or movies, message us on Twitter or Facebook. We want to hear from you. Thank you again, and talk to you soon.